helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast with your host, Bill Reichart, National Director of CMDA Campus Ministries.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA's Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichart. I'm National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And with me as my guest is Giovanna Owen. Giovanna, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.
Yeah, I'm glad you're being a part of this conversation we're about to have around missions. But even more than that, let me just give folks a little bit of an idea of where you're from and what you're up to. Giovanna, sounds like you grew up on the West Coast because you went to CBU, California Baptist University, and you are now at Rocky Vista University School of Osteopathic Medicine in Parker, Colorado. You are a rising third year and involved in the ministry there. Had a chance to do some medical missions, which we're going to talk about. And we'll leave it at that. And I know as we talk more, we'll learn more about your life and your story. And that's a big part of why I wanted you on the podcast. It's just an opportunity for you to share your story, experience, that it might be an encouragement to those that are listening, and it may also give them some incentive to consider some of the things we're going to discuss regarding students involved in healthcare missions. So, and that's a big part of what our discussion is going to entail. So, but let's go back a little bit in time and just to kind of find out a little bit of your journey, both. Well, first of all, how did you come to Christ?
So I actually came to know Christ from a young age, introduced to church and honestly just a relationship with and loving him by my parents. And then was able to just further cultivate that by learning how to walk with him. I think I'm definitely still learning, but I would say that was at 4 years old and I'm still going strong at 25. So it's been a pleasure.
Wow. I know you, again, you had some great experiences being part of a faith-based institution like California Baptist, and it sounds like you grew up in a Christian home with a strong family and church background. Why did you decide healthcare? What was the thing that led you to this journey of becoming a doctor?
I always say that I don't know if I can pinpoint the exact time where things changed. I think that I was blessed enough to go to a high school that really fostered and encouraged us to learn different avenues and different career paths. And I started with an anatomy class to see what that was all about. And I was just amazed with the human body, all that God designed and how he designed it so intricately. I was like, I want to be a part of that right there. And as I went to CBU and then realized that I could use medicine to further God's global mission, I just decided to continue with that path. And he's led me now to be in medical school. So,
what was the kind of the connection that you saw? How did you see medicine providing an opportunity to, you know, further God's kingdom, to be able to have an impact for the kingdom?
I think I first saw it just as I was learning from professors who were teaching me biology, and they were doing that with a Christian lens. So I think that's one of the main things that I just really enjoyed about going to CBU was professors who knew that was God's design and then taught me how to navigate all of the biology, all of the human anatomy in that lens. And then at CBU, I was able to then go on a trip to Taiwan with a team. And there we worked with adults and children who have disabilities, and we were able to do community development with them. And I just saw the different ways in which they're treated in society and how much I saw healthcare really actually impacting their lives overseas and how much God deeply cares for them and how much I cared for them. And then was able to just see a really interesting bridge that I felt like the Lord was allowing me to step into, where I could potentially be serving people like that overseas and bringing good news to them.
Yeah, it's really a calling, isn't it? Especially given all the hurdles you have to go to get into medical school. You got a sense of calling from the Lord. And I get a sense that you began to discover that as you began to go down this path. So you go to Rocky Vista and you got involved in CMDA. Were you looking for CMDA? Was that something you were hoping to find? And if so, how did you find it?
Yes, so I got onto campus as a master's student, actually. I was in their master's program first and did that for a year. And I did not, I had a Christian community within my church outside of RVU, but I was really looking for something where I could say, hey, we're all struggling here. How can we, relate to each other and also know that we've got each other's back, knowing that we're Christians? And so through that, I actually met a guy that was doing in the kind of our club fair, I guess you could call it. And he said, hey, are you interested in CMDA? And I was like, what's that? Tell me more about it. So got involved in that through his invitation and y'all being represented on our campus. So.
Yeah, while you're mentioning that, let me parenthetically say, kind of as a way of promoting the those activity fairs, those orientation fairs, student fairs, as they are usually happen at the beginning of the school year, are real valuable opportunities to connect with incoming students. And we'll put this in the show notes, but we offer these welcome kits to help student groups have resources, things that they can give to fellow students to introduce them to CMDA. So, glad you got connected. As you kind of got involved with Christian Medical and Dental, what were some of the things you began to see as the fruit of your involvement? What were the ways that you might have been encouraged or strengthened or supported that you discovered while involved?
I love this question because it's just the impact that CMDA has had on my life is immense, and I could talk about it forever. But it was people showing up, like the consistency of the group that started CMDA on our campus. I think my first meeting when I walked in and I saw their faces, they were elated. They were like, we're so happy to have new faces here. And they just welcomed me with open arms. And it was what I think is so special is all of my questions about the classes, about how in the world I was going to wake up the next day and keep going. They fielded all of those. They prayed for me. They encouraged me. They also just allowed me to step into a place of leadership, which I was blessed to have done this past year at RVU campus. So I think just that encouragement in a place where you know that other people get what you're going through was really big for me and what CMDA offered.
Yeah, it's just so important to know that you're not alone, isn't it? Because it can be a very isolating
It
environment. You kind of get your head down, you're doing your studies, you're doing all your
is.
classwork, and sometimes you can just feel like, again, it's a slog that you're only enduring yourself alone. And to know that you've got other like-minded individuals who not only are committing themselves to the same vocation and calling, but who have a relationship with Christ, and to know that you have
Yes.
that strength and support. Was it safe to assume you had some maybe faculty or maybe some attendings involved and connected with your group? And if so, how did that help?
Oh my goodness, yes. So we were so blessed to have Dr. Small is actually our he was our representative. So he was our faculty that backed our club on campus. And so he was there almost every meeting and just I loved hearing from he was teaching us microbiology and then he was also in there praying for us and encouraging us. And so that I felt like was invaluable. And also, oh, he had a couple more professors that kind of trickled in throughout the year as well, who have just been a constant encouragement. One of them, I received an email before my board exam that I just took of just prayer and encouragement. And that just meant more than I can even express. And the physicians that joined us, just him and his wife just opened up their home to us. They encouraged us. They brought us food. I was just like, you're feeding us. I mean, I'm honored. And they were just such a joy to be around and a constant encouragement. And I think they might have missed maybe one meeting in the last year or so. So they were just encouraging and they also joined us on our trip that we took too. So.
And I just want to encourage those who are around medical school, dental school, other healthcare professional training places and centers that opening up a home, feeding hungry and poor students is such an incredible opportunity for ministry. And I know it does not go unnoticed. And so I'm thankful for those that have invested at RVU. So let's now kind of get to present day. This spring, you had a chance to do something similar but different from what you did in Taiwan. You went on what's called a Global Health Outreach, GHO, mission trip. And you did, GHO is part of CMDA. You did this with other students. What motivated you or compelled you to consider this opportunity? Because it's in the You took off your spring break, I assume, to do this, right?
I did, yes. And it was the biggest blessing for me. I think that it far outweighed any sleep I could have gotten instead. So I'm so glad that I was able to do that. But yes, so we found out about the trip about, I would say, maybe 5 or so months in advance through the physician who actually joins our group there that I was discussing about him and his wife opening their home to us. And they said, hey, what do you think? Do you think we can make this happen to our board, our student-led board? And so we had some really interested people within our board, and we decided that we would go through with it. And so we found out that we had been assigned to Nicaragua to travel over spring break, and it was just an amazing, amazing opportunity for us. And we headed out, and the Lord really showed up in some amazing ways.
How many students came from RVU?
RVU, let's see, there were about, I think about 6 from RVU Colorado campus.
Okay.
And then I think we had maybe 1 or 2 from the Utah RVU campus.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll make the assumption there's probably students from other schools that joined with you as well, I assume.
Yes, we had some students from out there in California as well.
Good. Yeah, because your team leaders were fantastic. George and Angelica.
Fantastic.
Gonzalez, yes,
yes.
They are wonderful. And they do such a great job.
They are.
And Wes Earhart, our regional director out west, was also part of that team. Sounded like a just sounded like a great opportunity and a blessing. So you land there, you get there. Let me ask you, what were you hoping to receive from that trip? Because I like to sometimes match up what your expectations were to what you actually experienced. So kind of, if you can recall kind of your thinking beforehand, what was kind of the expectation? What were you hoping to receive and experience?
I think my biggest hope for the trip was a way for the Lord to just enter in and finally give me a way that I could tangibly understand what it would look like if I was able to practice medicine overseas, because I so desperately wanted to have something that I could kind of tangibly have in my mind when I, you know, thought about what it would look like. And what I'm working for in medical school and working towards is joining with him in his global mission in some way, as I mentioned before. And so I think that was my biggest hope was, Lord, what does that look like? What does it look like for me to use medicine and then use the gospel? And how do those two things meet up? So,
yeah. And you get to see that practically as a student. I mean, you're still, you mean, you haven't had your clinical rotations yet. You're still in your didactic, or you just finished those. And now you're going to have a chance to really have a unique experience, more so than many of your peers have had a chance to have, which is to have a preceptor, to be there in those clinic spaces, to see how medicine and faith are integrated and exercised together. And that must have been a unique opportunity. What were some of the big takeaways that you experienced from your time there?
Definitely. This brings me to one of my favorite stories, and I feel like I've told it quite a few times. But so I worked with a physician. He's a family med doc while I was there. And something that I noticed throughout the day working with him was that he would always pray for his patients at the end of the visit. And then he would decide what medications that he was going to prescribe them or what the treatment plan looked like or something like that. But it was a small act of prayer first and then the treatment that he was going to give. I think that really impacted me to say, okay, Lord, I'm submitting to you first and your plans for this patient and how you will best heal them if that's what they need, or provide for them if that's what they need. And then I am using what you have given me, and then I will give that to them second. And so I just thought that that was an amazing takeaway for me going forth, you know, into clinicals and things like that, is just remembering that, the Lord goes before us and he provides a path and a way for us to interact with each patient.
Yeah, that's a great thing to be able to see in that environment, because, you know, the trips, the GHO experiences, yes, you'll see a lot of patients, you know, do a lot of good work, but the spiritual dynamic is really front and center. Is you're wanting to, one is bring your faith to bear as you practice medicine, and you want to see lives transformed with the healing power of Jesus. pills and treatments only last for so long, but eternal life is eternal. And I know
Amen.
you work with local churches, and so there's real sustainability there, because what you do there isn't just you're parachuting in, doing some good work and leaving. You're actually leaving a legacy behind where local churches, I know, follow up, and there's an ongoing sustainable investment there in that community that you serve. So GHO trips, I'm going to feel like it's going to be like a commercial or something, but just tell those who are listening that GHO trips are so well done, and the best practices that drive them are that they want to do good. It's not, it's again, not just parachuting in and leaving. It's leaving a sustainable impact. It's working with local partners. All of those things make GHO trips just stellar and top drawer. Now, I will say there's a cost to this, obviously. So let's talk about that, because I think when students hear about opportunities like this, they get excited, as we all do. Wonderful opportunity, but there's a price tag. It takes time, it takes a cost to get an airfare, and there's just expenses built into doing a trip like this. How did you all confront the cost issue, and were you able to find some ways to help kind of mitigate that a bit?
Yes. So for the cost, I always say that there's so much that the Lord can do with our yes. And so what I try to do is say, yes, Lord, and I know you'll provide before it even starts, before I even try to find a way to come up with the funds or whatever that might look like. So I think the biggest step, and actually like even understanding the financial aspect, is saying yes and saying, Lord, I know that you want me to do this. I know that you want me to join you. And so how would you like for that to come about? And I think that attitude gives him a way to provide and just show up in amazing ways. And we saw that happen for the students that went on the trip. And I definitely saw it happen for myself. I think something that's amazing about the GHO trips is that if you go on to CMDA's website, and you go onto the GHO section of it, and then under resources, it gives you all of the opportunities and all of the scholarships that they actually have to offer on there. So that's my little plug saying that I highly recommend students looking at the scholarship options. And I know that they were very, very helpful to my team and I and the students that went. And I think that that was a way that I saw the Lord provide. And then we also just, I would say, I would encourage people to just give people an opportunity to join with you in prayer, join with you maybe in financial support, whatever that looks like, and then to share your story with them after and your thanks, because I know that I got really amazing feedback on the story that I sent to my supporters after I got back. And I just feel like it was a great way for them to say, wow, I not only got to financially support you, but I also got to pray with you. And I know that by their prayers, that was the reason why we were able to do what we were able to do.
I couldn't agree with you more. In the years, many years, I took students on mission trips when I was in Atlanta, I never left a student behind because of money. There was always resources. There were local doctors, physicians who wanted to contribute to help, churches, family, friends. There was a real sense of this is an important and worthwhile investment. Everybody saw that. And to your point with scholarships, we'll put the link in the show notes. There are a ton of scholarships. And and so there's resources. And like I said, God's going to show up and he'll honor that yes and that step of faith and faithfulness. So, yeah, trust God, venture out and see the Lord provide. So, you know, GHO trips, as we're talking about for students, obviously this is a, the idea here is, that it's not only for students, obviously those who are attendings, those who are in practice come along and they're invested in this trip. So what's exciting is to be able to walk alongside and to see kind of incarnationally, what does it look like to do medicine with one's faith, front and center demonstrated. And so those trips are life-changing. And I often say that we are, yes, there to help bring comfort to the afflicted, but trips like this, I know in my life, afflict the comfortable. And that comfortable person is me. It stretches me. It puts me out of my comfort zone. It deals with the idols in my life. So I echo with you and how these trips are just so life-changing and impactful. So we would encourage any student that's listening to investigate it. But don't do it alone, right? Because I think the key is you did it as a group and you did it as a community. And there's real power in that, because you come back I got to believe the relationships between you and your fellow peers in CMDA must have just even bonded even closer. These got to be some lifelong friends that you've cemented and made.
Definitely. I would say that we all got back and we just gave each other an opportunity to process. And then we kind of came back together and then we were able to process some more because it's hard to go and see what you see and then come back and they throw you into the whims of medical school and you're back at the tests and the endless assignments. And so I think that definitely having their support and their prayers. I know that I have a group chat right now with some girls that went with us from CMDA that I wasn't as close with before, but they're actually going to be at my wedding in a couple weeks now because of the trip. And so I just think that, yeah, there's just so much that the Lord wants to do, not only what I was able to see in country, but you're right. The relationships that were formed were just so special to me and will probably continue to be in my life for the years to come.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of CMDA. It's, I think you got a chance to see that this is a bigger ministry and movement than just RVU. And this isn't just about medical school. It's beyond that. It's residency, fellowship, and beyond. It's almost like cradle to grave. It really is something you will carry with you throughout your career because, again, we need one another. We don't work in isolation, especially with some of the cultural currents that we're facing. We need to be in community. We need the support of others. And, of course, to have that fellowship, to have that community is important, but also to exercise the gifts that God has given us in the context of the underserved, both abroad and locally. That's the exciting thing. That's the thing I just love about this ministry, CMDA. It's about preaching and healing. It's bringing together, as you saw early on, how the two things can be woven together, the gospel, the kingdom of God, and the healing arts of healing and bringing medicine and dentistry to bear. So, yeah, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm also just encouraging any of the students listening that you really want to find those avenues, those on-ramps of involvement. And these GHO trips are just such a wonderful, they're very turnkey, aren't they? Because they didn't require a lot of work. You could just show up. I mean, there's some work in advance. You got to make sure you have your passport and you have to do certain things. But there's a lot of support behind them that really help them be successful. Let's kind of we'll land this conversation and kind of as a departing words, what would you say to kind of your words to a student who's listening, who's still uncertain, who would, may consider a trip like this? Why should they? What would you say to somebody listening or watching right now?
Yes, I would say that there's so much that the Lord wants to do with your life. There's so much. And I think that so many times fear or complacency or comfort get in the way of all the immense ways that he wants to show up and provide. Our God is amazing. He blows my mind every single day. And I would just encourage anyone out there who might be on the fence to say that yes, that I talked about earlier and reach out to people who can get them answers and to just take a chance and be amazed at how God wants to use them in his story, because it is a blessing and an honor that we are able to be used in God's story. We didn't earn it. We don't deserve it, but he uses us anyway. And so I always just want to be honoring to him with what he has given me the ability to do. So I would just say, like you had said earlier, we all have unique abilities that the Lord has given us. Mm-hmm. And so not a waste, but it would be so much more amazing if we use those things and stepped out of our comfort zone and really were able to just walk in obedience for what he's called us to do. And so that's what I would encourage everyone, not in condemnation, but just in grace and encouragement, mm-hmm. step out and see all that he has to offer. And I think CMDA, GHO, they're both amazing ways to get involved in God's global mission.
Well, thank you. That's a good word. That's a good way to end. And thank you for your faithful service unto the Lord as you have served him at RVU and will continue to. And I was going to say thank you, Giovanna Owen, but we don't call you Owen yet for a couple more weeks. Just on a personal note, your fiancé, is he in healthcare or?
He is not, actually. He is an accountant. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
He takes care of the money and the numbers, and I can do the healthcare stuff.
Okay. Well, by the time this drops, you won't be Owen anymore. But congratulations. Look, I pray that that'll be a blessed day and of course a blessed life together as you all come together. And again, this is it's your calling, but as you know, medicine is such an intense vocation. It really becomes a couple's calling as he joins with you in this. So thank you again for taking the time. I know you have a busy schedule. Thanks again
Thank
for
you.
All you've done and continue to do and serving the Lord and investing in others' lives, both abroad and locally at RVU. And I'm looking forward to, well, like I said, CMDA is a journey along your professional career for years to come. So I trust this won't be this will be the first, but maybe not the last time we have a chance to say hello. But thank you again. And we're going to put a lot of the things we discussed, of course, that are relevant in the show notes so people can look into that some more. And again, thank you, Giovanna, for being a part of our CMDA Student Pulse podcast.
Of course. Thank you so much, Bill.
Well, this is the time of the podcast where we share some things that you need to know. First of all, if you haven't done so already, make sure you download the CMDA Student Life app. Let me tell you, this is the place where we communicate, we give you the resources and everything you need to stay connected with CMDA. On the app, you can join CMDA. And that's one thing we encourage you to do. Stay connected with CMDA by joining. And here's the good news. As a student, joining is absolutely free, but the resources you're going to get are priceless. So stay connected with CMDA by joining. Also through the Student Life app, there's resources for downloadable Bible studies, the podcast is on there, and all kinds of ways to stay connected and be informed about CMDA. So download that app and get connected. Also, one last thing that you need to know is if you want to stay connected with some of the more late-breaking news and information, we're on the socials. We're on the Facebook, the X, and Instagram. And so simply find us at the handle at CMDA Student Life, and we've got all kinds of information there as well. So, as always, we look forward to talking to you next time on the next episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA's Student Pulse podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is non-partisan and does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on Student Pulse podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.